Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Just gone four. We've just come off air. Max in for Paul today. We're by the photocopier because the studio's in use. Andy is photocopying his buttocks as we speak. And it's time for the podcast. Andy, stop that. What's on?
It's Martin Kellner with his Week of Sport in TV. Two special guests in the studio today, Tom Davis and Simon Day. They've got their new sitcom starting tonight, King Gary. It's going to be very funny. They were on great form. And we had a bit of a chat at the top of the show.
We did, and it was marvellous. And I hope you enjoy this. Paul is back on Monday. Normal service is resumed. Andy is a star of the broadcasting world, and may his reign live on forever.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon, Max. Good afternoon, everybody. And I'm going to start with this story. I love this story. It's a good one, actually. Fitness fanatic Lewis Pugh.
Hello, Lewis.
Of Cape Town, South Africa, will swim 1 kilometre in a lake in Antarctica wearing just his trunks to raise environmental awareness. And I was thinking, those temperatures are about all he'd be raising, let's be honest.
That is quite the skill, isn't it? I once did the London Triathlon and I wasn't meant to be doing it. I did the relay. And one of my friends dropped out. Three people. They said, look, can you do the swimming leg? I was like, well, I'll tell you what. Go to the local swimming bars and see if I can do 1,500 metres. And I did it. And I was like, yeah, I can do it.
Oh, that's quite impressive.
Thank you. Very kind of you. Yeah. I mean, I didn't set a world record. Adrian Morehouse was not worrying about
me. How many lengths? 25-metre lengths? And we're not going to get into mental.
Don't get into long division this early in the show.
Move the decimal point.
Anyway,
I'll work it out. What was it? 1500.
I arrived at the London docks and I was handed a wetsuit. I didn't realise it was going to be in the dock. I thought it'd be in a pool, and so I put this thing on, and then I jumped in. And honestly, for that second, I thought I was going to die. I just thought I had to get out.
Was it cold? Even wearing the wetsuit?
When you get in, like, it's only like 10 seconds, 30 seconds that you feel so cold.
You're no Lewis Pugh.
No, I'm not. And the buzzer went, and I got kicked right in the groin, and I was the only person of the entire field doing breaststroke. It was generally a humiliating day.
Not ideal, really.
Now, Andy.
Yes. This is good.
This is is it? Good
time? Oh, no, sorry, it's a vignette. I thought you were going to set up the call.
I'll do one vignette, then get to the course.
Sure.
Spain's Christmas lottery, El Gordo, the world's biggest, paying out a total of 2.3 billion.
That's what it means.
Named after many talk sport presenters. When journalist...
I'm a bit El Gordo myself after Christmas.
When journalist Natalia Escudero discovered she'd had the winning ticket during a live report on the draw, she screamed with delight and resigned on the spot, shouting, "I'm not coming to work tomorrow." She later realised she'd only won €5,000. Escudero apologised for any confusion caused, but pointed out that her report was partly true. She is going on holiday, she says.
Well, it's 5,000. I did decide that I'd probably do something similar, but I'd have to pay Paul a sort of fee. To the escape fee.
Really? Is that how he's got you? Yeah. Are you here against your will?
No, not really.
You've come in today. No one forced you in, did they? Do you know what? I didn't get a good night's sleep. I woke up at 2 in the morning.
Right.
And all I could think, literally, I woke up and I thought, how do you pronounce Conor Harris? This is genuinely true. Yeah. And then I thought, then I couldn't remember Horahan or Howrahan.
Horahan.
And then I couldn't sleep because I was finding it so ridiculous that other people would be awake at night worrying about their children or their mortgages. And there I am wondering how to pronounce Conor Horahan. Anyway, okay, so here we are. This is a tweet sent yesterday, and many of you will see it, by a man called Martin, who says, I recently inquired to a football team, bit of five-a-side fun. What I got in response is biblical, he says. A 14-page club guide, 1-4, for a five-a-side team. Within it is absolute footballing gold, the highlights of which I'm going to share with you now. So it's I'll read a few of them out for you.
It's basically very dictatorial.
It's very, it is draconian, right? Mm. Martin says, this five-a-side team has a director of football. This should have been enough to make me stop reading from page one, but I carried on. Here he goes. The rules and procedures are written by someone who has been organising football for 40 years and works in an industry that relies on processes. The philosophy of the football club is to provide quality football, but to achieve this, all members must be following the same rules and processes and pulling on the same direction. Those who don't are punished until they do. There we go. A 3-week ban if you don't read the book. It says, if you have a question about how the club's organised and run, the answer's in this document. If you think you need to ask a question, please feel free to ask the director of football using WhatsApp. However, if the answer to the question is in the document, expect a mandatory 3-week suspension. Is it never be afraid to ask a question?
How do they ever get any team? Everyone's getting suspended, aren't they, for everything in this situation?
The reply must be received before the next day message is sent. Do not attempt to backdate a reply for a previous message. This will be ignored as it causes confusion, and a 3-week suspension will be issued to that player who caused confusion.
Oh, you're off to 3 weeks suspension.
Exactly. No chit-chat on the WhatsApp group. Any member replying anything other than their ID followed by their availability will be suspended for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
A 3-week ban for withdrawing after selection, whatever the reason. Whatever. Yeah. I've broken my tibia. Yeah. I don't care. 32-week ban. 32, obviously, if you don't bother turning up, whatever the reason. Reserves who don't make themselves available to play up to 1 hour before kickoff receive a 3-week suspension.
3 weeks.
So you're not picked. Man. You're not picked.
But you've got to be available.
You choose to go out for the day. You've got to be available.
He does realise, this fella, that people aren't getting paid, that it's supposed to be fun.
It's totally amazing. And it goes on and on and on and on. And then at the end, it has this amazing thing where it says, how good are you? And to join, it says, name, age, favourite position, favourite foot. And then it says, how many keepy-ups can you do with 3 attempts in the back garden? Your best score, 1 to 100.
I don't know. I've been banned for 3 weeks.
Exactly. How fit are you for your age? 1 to 10. So listen, we would love to hear stories about over-enthusiastic or draconian managers, or just anybody who you play amateur sport
with. Who takes it too seriously.
Who takes it too seriously, please. 81089. You can tweet at Max Rushton, at TSH&J. You know, do you want a phone call? You don't want a phone call. I think we're too busy, aren't we?
Well, we could break the habit of a lifetime.
Go on, then. If it's a really good story of your draconian managers.
Yeah, because it'd probably take a bit of time to sort of
to
get through it rather than write it out.
Absolutely. 08717. Mm. And it's very rare Andy lets you ring him. So really take this opportunity.
But if it's no good, you're fired.
Okay.
You're banned for 3 weeks. 32-week suspension if we take a call that's rubbish.
08717. Huge pressure on me. Don't let me down. 08717-22-3-4. Anything else, Andy?
Yes, I just want to, obviously, of course, loads and loads in the papers today about the royal defection.
Yeah, absolutely. Pushing for transfer in
January. All the tabloids have devoted their whole of their letters column to, because of course people are interested in this. But I do love this one from Taxpayer B, who wrote to the Daily Star. And obviously this is a typo, but this is how it starts. What a winger Harry is. I had him more as a wide midfield man myself. Do you mean whinger?
I mean, I think, you know, I feel it's too early in his career to move to the Canadian Premier League. I don't know about you.
I do too.
I really think he had something to offer, at least championship level.
I love the people at Two Swords. They're nothing if not opportunistic.
That's ridiculous,
I know,
isn't it?
They've already got rid of them. So I was thinking, who would you like to reply? I'm going for the Crankies.
You want to put the Crankies in, what, into Madame Two Swords or straight into the royal family?
No, into this thing, because basically it's the Queen and Prince Philip, Kate and Wills.
Yes.
And it was Harry and Meghan, but Harry and Meghan have been moved. So there's a sort of very conspicuous gap now.
Yeah. Well, I think it shouldn't just be into Madame Two Swords. It's which couple should be brought into the... In fact, this is a reality show. This is. I mean, forget the Masked Singer. We get couples to... We should pitch this. This could be the new X Factor. Yeah. You could be the couple to join the royal family. If the royal family want to get into, you know, they want to make themselves more modern, what, there's no better way. What about the if the winners of Love Island, right, the couple that win Love Island, unless they're all eaten by that baboon that's running about outside, maybe they become the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. But why not, eh? And my favourite line about the royal wedding that I saw was Marina Hyde in the Guardian saying, you know, it all seems a little bit middle management speak. I'm not sure it's for oneself to describe yourself as senior members of the royal family in print. Either way, the pair omitted to inform their line manager, brackets, the Queen.
That's very good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Talk Sports. Hawksby and Jacobs. Max in for Paul today. He's back on Monday. Andy alongside me. Very pleased to welcome to the studio actors, comedians Tom Davis and Simon Day. Tom, obviously, massive West Ham fan. Simon, big Spurs fan. To talk about King Gary, which is on at 9:30 tonight on BBC One. How are you, gentlemen?
Very well.
Very well. Yeah. Good. Good.
Yeah, it's a good preview, sir. We're in the paper today.
Which one?
Mike Ward gave it a very nice write-up.
Oh, wow, cool. The reviews have been very nice.
Kind.
Yes, by nature, we're very anxious. I'm an anxious kind of man.
Are you? Because...
Yeah.
And have you always been, with everything you've put out, you've always sort of...
I wasn't particularly anxious when I was scaffolding.
Potentially more dangerous as well, right?
Anxious about heights, but... I think the Murder and Successful was so cult, I was never too worried about it. This is the first thing that I've done that's mainstream, and it's BBC One, and you're stepping into the shoes of some of my favourite shows, and yeah, I mean,
people are a bit like, oh, BBC One, right, okay.
As Simon throughout when we were writing, he used to text me and call it the Chav sitcom. But yeah, no, it's nerve-wracking, isn't it, Si?
Yeah, it is, yeah. But I mean, they know the story. Would you like to explain to them the story?
You ought to tell us a bit about what it's about, because I've seen it. I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it. But people who haven't seen it.
Unbelievable. It's been out of pilot. Do your visa. Chris had seen four episodes earlier. Chris
Evans. Of course he had.
Been watching that sex
and
education.
And the bloke who works for him.
It's essentially about sort of London suburbia. It's about what we call a geezer diva by the name of Gary King. So he's my character, and he's sort of him sort of going through his aspirational life and sort of he's, you know, him and his wife, but the sort of main bit is between him and his dad and sort of being in the shadows.
I'm horrible to him. I sort of bully him. He's taken over my successful property maintenance company. You know, he's 6'8". He talks the talk, walks the walk, but essentially he's quite a sensitive, nice boy. And, you know, I basically am on him. Everything he does, I attack, put down. And also, whenever anything happens, they say, I'll get your dad to do it. Yeah, and he's like, no, I'll do it on my own.
It's essentially that look at that sort of older generation of guys who are sort of from the flats, who are a little bit more rough, and then they've sort of moved out, and their sort of sons have been sort of, you know, cotton wool's been wrapped around them slightly. And, his dad's his biggest critic, and he doesn't really come in for much praise.
When you've done something as successful and as good as Murder in Successful, is it easy to get a BBC One sitcom? Do they just say here, is that a really stressful process?
No, it's a massive. I mean, it's a massive honour to be asked to do it, and it was, you know, it was something that we sort of talked to them sort of about, but then you really have to. You have to find the right way of doing it within... You've got to make it your own. I think the worst thing that we could have done is sort of try to sort of to follow a formula. It had to be very much us and sort of...
There's a lot of parameters with BBC One, whereas you can't sort of just do a sort of standard dark BBC Two odd sitcom. You know, it has to be a family, you know, themed show.
It's funny how that's still a thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
the one button on a remote control makes people's sort of sensitivity so different.
Me and Simon were saying just before we came on that it's sort of, this is a real sitcom. There's not a lot out there like that. And I think, as silly as it sounds, there's so much comedy now, and comedy that's great. There's sort of this dark comedy or dramedy or whatever you're going to call it. This is, you know, unapologetically a real, it's a sitcom with laughs. It's got a big heart to it. And I think that's the thing that the big thing for me when we first started talking about it is, who do you get in? Simon was, for us and the BBC, I'm a massive fan of Simon. And they sort of didn't feel anyone else who could realistically play my dad. If you see my dad, he looks like Simon.
Really? And a fun thing to do, to have a list of things going, I'd like him, you know.
There wasn't
even
a list.
He's 6 inches taller than me, so
and only
I'm
3 years younger.
To tell him off and be there's a match show. There's one part where he's having a problem with a hard man and I come to sort of help him out, and he's sort of he's 6 inches taller than me, and I'm trying to tell him off, and people go, "God, you look so small next to you." So that's quite odd.
And Romish is in it. He was in the pilot, and he's in the series. And of course, you work with him on Judge Romish.
Yes, I've worked with him on Judge Romish, and we did League of Their Own, and.
It's good to get Romish some TV work because he
needs it. Yeah, exactly.
I think, you know, everyone keeps saying to me about this, but he is unbelievably good. Yeah. It's like, I think it's just sort of, when I was doing a lot of the press interviews, people kept on sort of saying about it, and I'm like, he's a very close friend, a dear friend, but he's also he's a phenomenal comedy actor. It was sort of Simon Romesh and Laura Chetley. We were like, they were the people when you're building that world in your head. They were like, these are the people that are going to inhabit it. But
his own sitcom's fun too.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's it. I mean, he plays
the slightly odd neighbour, doesn't he?
Yeah,
aggressive neighbour.
Yeah.
I've got this image of, you know, when you go to BBC One, that there's sort of someone with a clipboard saying, "You can do this, you can't do this, you can do this." Is it like that or not?
I've been told that by people. Reece Thomas told me that he had a list once, but that was for a different channel, and it was quite extraordinary, the list of things. Whether they insist on all those things, I don't know.
Not really. I think we'd done the pilot. Shane and Alex at the BBC were very much, you know, build this world yourselves. You know, the big thing was once we'd done the pilot, is like, let's just get rid of the swearing and get rid of anything that's too grotesque. Anything, you know. Mm. So that was the sort of biggest thing, is just getting rid of that, because we went from a show that was sort of, I think it was at 10:30 the pilot, and then this now goes out at 9:30, and you kind of want to go back to that throwback time where anyone from the family, you know, your grandparents can watch it, sort of older teenagers can watch it. You know, when I was younger, you sort of, it was a hallowed time to sit with your family and watch funny television. Where, you know.
Have you got six episodes?
Six episodes, yeah.
Because the thing with sitcoms, and this, I always think this when they're commissioning, they should commission two series.
Yeah.
The history of sitcoms, many times people didn't quite take to it, and suddenly it's become this massive thing.
It's that, you know, what's the thing about Murder and Successful that makes me laugh more than, is that it was on for 3 years and we had a nice enough audience. It was very cult as a show. If you liked it, if you knew it, you know, it was never publicised massively. And now it's gone on iPlayer and King Gary's there and more people have come to it and they're like, what are you doing any more of this? And you're like, no, I've not done it for three years.
It's one of my favourite things ever, though.
Honestly.
It's a wonderful program.
And it's true. I was one of those people that was, like most things, I'm sort of 2-3 years late to it. And I found Murder and Successful, and it was one of those things where you were like, I've still got some to watch, and I'm so excited.
Yeah,
and that,
it's joyful.
I don't know, the Martin Kemp, when he loses it, is one of the best moments of telly for years. I'm not trying to just blow smoke up your back through there. It is, I don't know anyone who could watch that scene and not be just weeping with laughter themselves.
It was, I mean, it, like, genuinely a show of me and James, who I do everything with. We write and he directs, and, you know, that was, it was an incredible show to make on the basis you could just, the wheels could fall. Yeah, we were doing this and you're sort of, you know, working with Simon and you know, incredible actors and people that make you laugh. But well and successful, the wheels could fall off the car at any time and you could literally just be in a, you know, I remember doing the one with White House and I was like, Paul's sort of been lovely to me since I started out. And, but when he was doing that scene with Paul and he was playing Len, I was like, I just couldn't keep it together. I've never laughed so much. And then I was looking at him thinking, at some point, White House, it was freezing cold and White House is at one point laughing along and then I could see him change going.
Yeah, he does,
you know,
that.
2 hours longer, you know.
It's a bit the same with Chris Kamara, isn't it? Same sort of thing.
Chris Kamara one was brilliant too.
Yeah, man.
Talking of Paul White House, I saw that you were talking about the Fast show, about people would love it to return.
Yes,
but it's the budgets, isn't it? And which makes the fact that you've got a sitcom on even better, really.
Well, yeah,
they're reluctant, aren't they, to spend money on comedy?
The thing is, this is new. That's the good thing about it, is a new comedy, isn't it? And I think, you know, everyone talks about doing the Fast show again. It would be great and blah, blah. But I'm actually not so sure it would be, because people are remembering a memory of how they felt at that time, and suddenly you're back on with your crow's feet and you're sort of baggy necks. They're going, this is not as funny.
I think for me and James, it was one of our biggest inspirations. It, like, the thing for me is, if you grew up in a working class, because of Simon and Paul, it felt so like, you know, I can't think of a show that just had such an impact. The writing was phenomenal, John Thompson, and it just felt, had that edge to it, of that sort of, it didn't feel like Footlights and loads of people sort of like sort of sitting about, sort of backslapping. It felt like it would be an absolute joy to be on set and just, yeah, sort of arcane, kind of a bit of, you know, arcanic as well. You know, it was, yeah, yeah, I love it. I'd love to see it back, I've got to say.
Tom Davis, Simon Day in the studio. We'll do a bit of football next with you, chaps. Oh, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport. Max in for Paul today. Brought to you with Green King for atmosphere you can't get at home. Head to your local Green King pub to watch all the FA Cup action this January. Your home of pub sport. Tom Davis and Simon Day with us in the studio. King Gary, their sitcom is on BBC One at 9:30 tonight. Simon, you are Spurs. And yes. Tom, you are West Ham.
Yes.
Now, I was listening to the Quickly Kevin podcast, which is excellent.
Yeah, thank you.
Josh Whittaker's pods. And you were on it and you told a story about how you met your hero. And I don't know if it's a 20 past 2 p.m. story, but I think I can trust you.
It was when we were filming King Gary, actually, and we were over in Winnie Chigwell, and I went out for a breakfast. The hotel I was staying in had a Bobbin's breakfast. It was terrible, so I'd sort of try and find a perfect breakfast. And so I go have breakfast, and after breakfast, I go for a turnout.
You use the facility.
Yes.
As one does.
I don't want to say the word poo because I think it's a.
You're allowed it once. Yeah,
yeah,
once
yeah,
an hour.
So, yeah. I went for a poo. That's twice. I come out of the toilet and Joe Cole was standing there, and I sometimes forget that I'm a giant and I'm sort of like a mess. I lose my mind. I'm like a sort of.
How
like,
tall is Joe Cole? Just
he's
for the listeners.
Pretty. five foot eight. If we're being kind, yeah. I become like a 10-year-old fanboy and I'm like, oh my God, Joe, how you doing, mate? And all this, right? And he's like, yeah, but he's trying to get in the toilet. He's seen me just come out of it.
And does he know who you are?
I don't think he had any clue who I was.
And he's one of your heroes,
right? He just thinks, yeah, I'm a guy who's come out of the toilet. And then all my back of my mind is, I need that smell to clear. I mean, I'm doing my best. And yeah, so I tried to keep him talking with a inane conversation. And Joe was just like trying to get round me. And I was like, I don't really want to go in there. And he went in and I sort of saw him look back. You know, like the end of the Titanic when Billy Zane's going down on the lifeboat and he looks up and sees all the people left behind. It was a little bit like that, yeah. And then I did a really embarrassing thing of sort of DMing him on sort of Instagram. He never got back to me. So,
surprise me.
I'm the guy.
He's actually a good pundit, Joe Cole.
He's good, pundit. Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
He's a really nice guy as well.
I'd love to see him go to West Ham as a coach.
Well, I think it's mooted, isn't it? They're talking about it at the moment.
So. Genuinely, I think he'd be amazing. I think his love for the club is incredible. His football brain is. I mean, he was, like I say that on there as well.
Joey Cole.
Mate, Joey Cole, to watch that kid play.
He's a good player.
When he came through, man, right? He was that team. Well, I look back at that. I think I saw that Quickly Kevin podcast. Is you sort of realise that even with Declan Rice and whatever, and you sort of enjoy those players while they're there. Because I did generally think when they were coming through, you're like, oh, we're going to have these players forever. And then, you know, that was a hell of a time. Rio, Frank. You know, they were just, yeah, it was a joy to...
And at Upton Park, right?
Oh, man, yeah. I mean, let's not get into that.
It's better, though, to be fair. I mean,
yeah, it has been, yeah.
It is better now. It's got livery, it's got the burgundy thing, the carrot thing round it.
It's felt more like home this season. It's certainly moved on, I think. Mm. I sort of do think with Moyes, I think Moyes comes in. I think hopefully steadies the ship a little bit. I think it's actually kind of what we should have done anyway, I think. Whether Pellegrini was ever right for the club, I think looking at the last two games, Moyes has certainly got them playing for him. And I think, you know, to structure this side and to structure us as a club going forward, I think it's the worst thing in the world.
They're playing tonight, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the same time, it's a clash with King Gary.
It clashes for the first, us versus Sheffield United. So it's a bit of a zingy.
Oh, the crowd, if you're watching it on the big screen.
We did suggest that.
West Ham will be 3-0 up by 9:30, you'll be all right.
I suggested, to make VAR more interesting, you could put something, we thought, you know, Nigella's quick meals on the big screen, you know, just something to take away. They could just stick it up there.
Stick on King Gary in the background. I'm hoping, that we're 3-0 up and people sort of go, oh, I should might watch that show. I mean, it's 2020.
I always find it amazing the way managers can seem to have this effect, though. Comes in Moyes and suddenly Noble scores two goals. I mean, he wasn't playing well. Let's get it right, wasn't it? Noble.
No, it's actually
just it completely galvanises everyone. They're all professional players. I know they give them a team talk. We're going to do this. Maybe, you know, you sort out the defence if they're leaking goals. But normally,
so often that
there's always a reaction.
And, and Jose did it for 5 minutes, and now, how are you finding it?
I think a lot of people thought, "How is this going to work?" Because he needs to spend money. Mm. Levy doesn't want to spend any money. He's been really unlucky with injuries. I mean, the injuries now are quite, you know, terrifying, aren't they? And Dombley, we're almost going, but Dombley's good. He obviously has got
something. He is good, but...
He is good. He's got something wrong with him, isn't he? Mm.
But, I mean, the idea that... And I suppose my big team, we win things, right? So I'm not getting in trouble for saying that. But Jose came in and I was sort of, obviously... with the love that everyone had for Pochettino, I mean, overnight I was like, how can they do this? It's a disaster, Jose's a disaster. And then within 5 minutes, you know, I think by sort of the first game, I thought, actually, this could work. And then the results were good. Yeah. But now you feel that mask has slipped. And then I feel an idiot forever thinking, I believed it, right?
Yeah. Everyone went, no, it's going to be good, Mourinho, you wait and see. But he basically just said, lob it up to the strikers. <didn't> And that sort of not worked. I just think, you know, they still need to replace Eriksen, you know, at some point.
But it is odd to hear him say, for example, he was talking about Kane and Kane being out. And then they said, he said, but I can't play Son there. Son's not a centre. And you think, well, that's exactly what Poch did when Kane was out. Son was brilliant. You wonder why. It's almost as if he didn't watch Spurs. It's quite a strange comment.
Personally, I think he's past his best. I think you cannot have that intense level of success for too long. I personally think that, you know, he's kind of not what he was, but we'll see.
Apart from Andy, has had that.
Andy's the Alex Ferguson. I'm not sure my microphone's working. Oh, it is. Or my headphones. Something's not working.
You seem to be working.
Am I?
That's
what you're always looking for, is someone. Am I still working? Does someone turn Andy off and on again? I couldn't hear anything.
Reboot Andy.
Days of wine and roses.
Well
Chelsea,
beyond rebooting, I'm afraid, lads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport.
Is this Martin's music or your music on a Sunday? I can't make up my mind.
It's funny, when I'm listening, and I do listen to this show, Andy, I'm not saying, I don't want to sound surprised, I enjoy it. But when I hear this, I do sort of have a slight jolt and think,
Sunday?
I'm on. I turn and to talk to a dour Irishman, but then he's not there normally in the week. No, I think it's Martin's music. Martin Kelmer, this is your music.
Yes, I could be a dour Irishman if you wanted.
Just be yourself, right. Martin. The week on Sporting TV, I hope littered with references to bygone days that are even...
Oh, yeah, I've got one of those. I've been watching the big match revisited.
Oh, fantastic.
But we'll start with something. I'd like to do the council TV from time to time.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You know, I'm down with the kids streaming everything. So I was watching on Netflix, I think, all the Game Changers.
Okay.
Which is it's a bizarre documentary. All sorts of people involved and put on the production credits. Lewis Hamilton. It says produced by Lewis Hamilton, Novak Djokovic, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jackie Chan.
Well, they all produced it, or they did different things? Sound man.
God knows what they did, but they're all on there. It says produced by all those people, including James Cameron. James Cameron of Titanic fame, and all those other people as well. And it starts off, it says, the statements expressed in this film are not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice.
Right.
Because I normally go to Arnold Schwarzenegger if I need any professional medical advice.
Yes, of course.
First port of call, you know, especially the NHS having a bit of a crisis, so go to Arnie. So, because I had no idea what it was about, but basically, it's about the benefits that a plant-based diet can give you in terms of sport.
Okay.
So, they interviewed loads of American footballers. And the whole thing was presented by a guy called James Wilkes, who, if you know MMA, UFC, all that stuff, he was a welterweight champion at one stage. Describes himself as a combatives expert. That's
right,
what he's described as in the thing. And it starts off in Camp Pendleton, which is sort of American Marines, Navy SEALs, that sort of thing.
Mm.
And he's training them. And he's saying, like, if someone comes at you with a knife, this is what you do.
Right. I'll show them a plant book.
Here's a chrysanthemum.
Yeah, get a Greg's steak bake and shove it straight in their face. No, he says, if someone comes at you with a knife, and he shows various techniques and what he can do, and he says, nearly all the techniques I teach are banned in mixed martial arts.
Right, wow.
I'm showing you the most effective and damaging moves in a real-life situation. And whenever I see anybody doing all that, you know, this is how you can kill a man with just one, you know, with one twist of your wrist or whatever, I always think of Gareth in The Office. You know, he strikes me as, you know, this is how I know how to kill a man. These moves are banned. He says it's life or death for these guys. So he does the whole thing together. And there's various doctors they have. But his dad, it's one of those things where his dad made home movies of it. You know, his dad was a home movie enthusiast.
Okay.
So it's great. You get loads of stuff of him growing up. And his dad... because he was a lively child. He looked to me as though he had
ADHD.
Is
that ate meat?
That was when he was a kid and he was still eating chicken nuggets.
Right.
So he was, you know, he was a lively kid. He had trouble at school and all that. And his dad explained how he got him sort of calmed down. And he took him to do this very, and I missed the name, but it was a very tough style of karate, or as Kramer would say, karate.
Yes.
So he's showing a very tough style of that. And Bruce Lee was his big hero, became a welterweight champ. But, I mean, the evidence there, if it was... That's the problem, because presumably the doctors that they got were all the doctors who... absolutely believed in a plant-based diet.
Mm.
So therefore, I mean, they showed you, they went to Ephesus in Turkey.
Oh, yes, I know Ephesus, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
All right, so they went to
Ephesus. Ancient ruin, quite near sort of Bodrum and Gumbet, where people would go for 18 to 30s parties.
Yes. Yes. I've been there, not for an 18 to 30.
Right.
I've been to Bodrum.
Glad to hear it.
I get thrown out. I don't believe you can do that these days.
Yeah.
Anyway, they went to Ephesus in Turkey, which reminded me of the and there was only like about 2 minutes of film there, but it reminded me of the Monty Python sketch where they said, we've come to Kingston in Jamaica to show just how expensive it can be to make these documentaries.
Did Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know what,
he's Dr. Schwarzenegger,
Dr. Schwarzenegger live on a plant-based diet?
Apparently he is now, that's what he's saying.
Okay.
He weighs about 10 stone now, really thin.
they were showing
there is some basis in this. There's a lot of sportsmen are going for this, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a load of science in it. And there was, they had one of these strongman guys, a guy called Patrick Baboni, and I'm not familiar with him, and I'm always watching strongman contests. But he was saying how he was 110 kilos, and he'd gone up to 130 kilos, so he was now stronger and bigger. Apparently, if you drink beetroot juice before training... You'll be able to bench press 19% more weight.
Really?
Yeah,
how much beetroot juice?
You've done this?
Yeah, I found this. It's powdered, and you just dilute it in water. And I have it before a workout. And I didn't have it this morning because I thought, it makes this vile.
Does it make your pee go purple?
Yes.
It does, yeah.
Right. What are you benching
and has
after?
Other effects, but I won't go into
what are
that.
You benching? Are you benching 200 kilos?
Yeah,
you go to Tokyo, the weightlifting for the Olympics, and you've had your beetroot juice. Sorry to sound cynical.
Yeah, those other effects that it has, which we're not mentioning, there's a whole section about that. They get three American footballers, and they do an experiment with them, some on a plant-based diet, some on a meat diet, and that sort of thing. And they prove, or this doc proves, that you can maintain a state of tumescence slightly longer with a plant-based diet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Yeah, they have little graphics to illustrate.
The sales of beetroot. No end of good this weekend.
That's how it works. But anyway, that was mildly amusing.
That sounds great.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Yes, so there you are.
What's that called again?
It's called Game Changers.
Game Changers,
and
right.
It's on Netflix.
Right, okay.
Turning to Council TV, or sort of Council TV, on Sky Sports. That was a shame because I was going to take the mickey out of Paul, who used to do a show at 10 o'clock, 10:30.
You're on Sky Sports.
You were on Sky Sports. Yeah, have you done that as well?
No, I never did that one. No. That was too serious for me, I think.
Yeah, well, there's always a problem with that slot because, you know, you've had the football. It was on after, the one that I watched this week was Jackie Oatley. It was on after the Villa match.
The debate. I did pilot for the debate with Barry and Merce, and they said, do what you do on the radio. So halfway through the show, I did a Q&A from Twitter and asked Merce if he'd rather forks for hands or spoons for feet. For some reason,
I didn't get the gig.
I can't understand that.
But the thing was, Merce, who's brilliant, took it seriously. He went, well, am I walking on sand? Because that makes a difference. It was a great bit of television that someone should
shame.
Dig up.
Yeah, they should.
Heroes.
Damn them.
It's not on YouTube.
No. I don't think it ever made the cut.
But anyway, the problem I have with the debate is that because they're trying to... And that's sort of the problem with all those shows that are on after everything's been on and we've had all the punditry, etc. It was, sometimes finding something to talk about. But also the fact that because they're not doing the usual setup with a couple of people on the sofa and one person presenting, so you've got the presenter, and then you've got, in this case, who was Jackie Oatley, the one I watched, and then you've got Steve Sidwell, who was one of the pundits, and then you've got Alan Smith, who was the other pundit. And I think Alan Smith especially, very good pundit. But,
yeah, brilliant bloke, isn't
it? Yeah, I think a lovely bloke. But I think it just looks odd because when Jackie's talking, the other two are staring straight at the camera. So you've got three people and they've got nothing to do. It's rather like being in an old Hollywood musical, you know, where the guy's singing and you have to
It's now they're not on high chairs because in one of the last years at Sky, they put me on one of those high chairs. And you can't, genuinely, in a TV studio, it really matters if you're relaxed or not.
Yeah,
and when you're on a high chair, you know, I was sitting next to Mercy, he was just trying to breathe in and you're all there going, God,
there's
why
a,
I look
there's
like
a
this.
Very odd thing about whether people are on chairs, they're on stools. I was watching the NFL last week and all the Sky presenters were standing. Mm. I don't get that either. I don't see... It's so unrelaxed to watch three blokes...
I'd rather have standing than sitting on high stools.
I'm not a fan of standing.
But standing for a whole NFL game is hard.
Well, they obviously aren't standing during the game. They just stand up when it goes to a break and they have to speak. But, you know, I
also think guests looking at the camera always looks odd to me. When Eddie and Steve-O used to do the rugby league, they would look... You know, Eddie would say something to Steve-O and Steve-O would look straight at the camera, which I always thought was
nonsense. Yeah, that was
nonsense.
A bit odd, yeah.
It was. He was good.
I miss Steve-O.
Yeah, I miss Steve-O as well. Rugby League, as we mentioned, has got a real problem with TV. But yeah, so obviously they talked about Manchester United, which is the big topic of conversation at the moment because United are always a topic of conversation.
Yeah, and but they were poor in the week, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And Alan Smith was saying, well, you know, with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it's a two-year project and you know the fans have to understand it's a long-term project and that and I thought I thought you can't explain that to fans can you that it's a two you know that in two or three years you know it'll work you know it's rather like a Russian in a meat queue you know living on cabbage soup and you say
it's
well,
a plant-based diet
yes, well, it's a plant-based diet that's true but you know you say to them we've got a five-year plan you know well, a five-year plan's not much fun if you're eating cabbage soup unless you're on a plant-based diet in which case case you can keep your tumescence longer.
One more quick one, Martin.
Yeah, I watched this again would have been interesting to Paul as a Spurs fan, but I watched the big match Revisited, which they play on BT Sport. It's great fun. And it was the weekend that Buddy Nicholson retired as Spurs manager. It's one there for the teenagers. And they had an interview with Brian Moore and Billy Nicholson, just the interviewing style from 1975. Mm. It seems like, you know, the middle, you know, when you used to, whatever it was that Harry Enfield used to do, you know, with a hello, today, those sort of things. And you look at some of 75, which to me and Andy was sort of, is quite
it's
modern.
Like yesterday.
It's like yesterday, it's quite modern. And you look at it, it's like you're looking at sort of wartime propaganda films. With me now, Billy Nicholson. Hello, Brian. Hello, Billy. And
yeah, it's all changed, hasn't it?
Oh, it's changed so much.
I like those games because it's like live sport for me. I can never remember.
Exactly. When they played one of the, during lunch of one of the, in the test match, they played, you know, South Africa. It was Graham Onions trying to hold out for a draw, and I was mesmerised. I couldn't remember what happened.
No,
they did very well.
What happened? It's great.
I was so pleased with
him. You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.